Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
B-Pod Studios.
The near side for Donald, under pressure, tosses the ball, intercepted by J.C. Jackson, goodbye, to the 40, to the 50, down the middle of the field, to the 40, to the 30, to the 20, he is end zone bound, pick six, touchdown, Patriots!
I saw Robbie Anderson chasing him, I wasn't sure how that was going to come out, but so we know that Robbie can go, but you know, J.C. beat him to the goal line, so shows you what he can do too.
Yeah, Robbie Anderson might be able to fly. You can't catch Robbie Anderson. Is a disaster.
He was bitching at Sam Donald on the sidelines after that.
Yeah, well, you know what? He gets targeted about seven times a game and ends up with a catch. So screw Robbie Anderson. You know, he's saying more than that. Robbie Anderson's another one that everyone said the Jets screwed up on not re-signing. I didn't think so. He's too thin.
53 targets, 19 catches.
Good for him.
Robbie Anderson.
That's exactly
right. Really?
Yes. And you will not hear a line like that ever again.
Whoa.
That's Mike, that's got to be one of the worst ever. I mean, that's insanity.
Yeah, he's had multiple games with like 11 targets where he's had like one or two catches.
Oh, he was on my fantasy team.
Now, is that a Darnold problem? I don't know these passes. Is it a Darnold problem or is it a drop problem?
It's Darnold, it's Anderson, it's both of them.
But DJ Moore seems to have...
Yeah, he can actually catch the ball.
Yeah, he has plenty of success with Darnold.
Robbie Anderson halfway through the season is 200 yards receiving.
Yeah, he's terrible.
Yeah.
Ooh, my word.
And by the way, the idea that he can't catch someone running down the field is an embarrassment. He's supposed to be, like, one of the fastest guys in the NFL.
Well, even Bill Belichick seemed surprised.
Yeah, you know why? Because Robbie probably didn't have any intention on catching him.
that would take maximum effort.
If you put those two in a race, what do you think J.C. Jackson probably runs, what, like a 4.45?
Yeah, 4.5.
And then Robbie Anderson probably runs a 4.29. Yeah, Robbie Anderson. He stinks. That's another guy. Jets, you can't believe the Jets gave him up, can't you? Bob Soucy is the voice of the New England Patriots on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network, and Bob's hot takes are powered by Bigelow Tea, who wants you to know a lot of stuff. If you want to know what keeps Bob's voice in peak condition, it's his hot cup of Bigelow Tea. Hot takes and hot tea, Bigelow Tea. Grab a mug and tea proudly. Bobby S. Yesterday was a clinic, my friend, and if you are the Patriots, I would imagine if you were, you know, take out the first quarter with the mistakes and everything, but certainly the second half, if they wanted to give you a blueprint on how they would have success this season, that's the blueprint. Am I right or am I wrong?
That's what we expected, right, coming out of training camp. In the preseason, the Patriots are going to win with their defense being the stronger unit on the team, and their offense really revolving around a physical running style for the most part, and, you know, a couple of completions when they need them, particularly in the red zone, the touchdown to Hunter Henry, the tight ends being an impact in the red zone in particular. And, you know, at least Henry has been that, obviously, the last 5-6 weeks. And I think yesterday, you're right, Fred, I think from the second quarter on, that's what we anticipated from the Patriots this year, if they were going to be a much improved football team.
All right, so when you take a look at the, I mean, this is such a strange spot, and I know we always joke about the AFC's wide open, but I mean, the Bills lose yesterday to Jacksonville. The Patriots, the one thing you can say about them is that they have, without wavering, consistently been on an up trajectory. Do you agree?
And
they seem to be almost like one team in this league that every week seems to be figuring it out from week to week.
I would agree. You know, Tennessee certainly was, I didn't get a chance to watch the game last night, but, you know, Tennessee's a team that definitely has been more consistent, but outside of...
Well, Tennessee's, you know, a better team.
I can't really think of anybody in the AFC that, you know, has been on this upward trajectory. And the Patriots, right, it hasn't been, you know, a significant improvement from week to week, but I think it's been gradual for the most part from week to week. And there have been signs. You know, the players have been telling us that, you know, that they felt it was coming together and it was a matter of time. And, you know, two or three weeks ago, it just sounded like lip service and, you know, maybe, you know, hollow sentiment, just wishful thinking. But I think what we've seen over the last few weeks is, you know, whatever they were saying, maybe they truly sensed it. You know, it's starting to materialize and they are getting better week in, week out. I mean, they are still making, you know, some of the same mistakes as you alluded to in the first quarter, the false starts, the unforced errors, you know, but I think what we've seen, even when they've turned the ball over, the defense now is picking up the offense. They're limiting the opposition with the turnover in their territory to 3 points. And then the offense is making enough plays when they have to. The line is coming together for the most part. And I think, you know, the Belichick's coaching, you know, you could talk about a lot of the mistakes they've made with personnel and so forth, and you know, fourth down decisions and whatnot, but game plans that they're designing and you know, they're executing for the most part defensively. Now we're seeing where, you know, those are having an impact, you know, the last few weeks especially.
And look at this. It's November, and come Sunday, dare I say, a very big game. I mean, this is a game. This is a game. If you win, you are now entrenched in playoff contention. And if you lose, you got some work to do.
Yeah, you know, I think Friday, Felger and Maz asked me if these next three games, including yesterday, were must-win, and I think realistically, yeah, before they play Tennessee. You know, they had to take care of business yesterday in Carolina. They did. I mean, obviously, Cleveland had a big day yesterday, but the Browns haven't been playing well. I'm talking about the inconsistencies within the conference in the AFC, and the Browns have epitomized that thus far this year, and I think having them in Foxborough, although the Patriots haven't played well to this point overall at home, nonetheless, I mean, they should win that game on Sunday, and then they should go to Atlanta on a short week and beat the Falcons down there, and then, you know, they're in position now where they can, you know, really, you know, make their mark opposite Tennessee and Baltimore thereafter. But I do think it's essential. They got to win this game Sunday against the Browns.
You know that Falcons game, who they could have used? Stephon Gilmore. Because that's what Carolina did against the Falcons, is they just put Gilmore on Pitts, and they said, you throw anywhere else, and Gilmore completely shut Pitts down. And so that's the thing about, I mean, Falcons beat a Saints team that's kind of got a lot going on, but that if you can take away Pitts, that's their offense. So anyway, that was my two cents on the Falcons. Go ahead, Drew.
No, I mean, and I'll be honest with you, even like yesterday, when you see Gilmore intercept that pass, you know, granted, you know, Mac was telegraphing it and Gilmore, you know, read it all the way. You know, thinking about the way the defense played and, you know, seeing him in his limited reps out there move around the way he did and, again, make that play, two interceptions in as many weeks, you know, the thought of what could have been for this defense, I think if you put Gilmore on the other side of Jackson as we expected, then I think you're really talking about the Patriots being a legitimate contender to make a deep run in the postseason.
All right, let me ask you about J.C. Jackson. I get up this morning, and I look at my Twitter mentions, and where I don't tweet, but I look at my Twitter mentions, and there's these people, probably about 5-6 people having a conversation about how horrible I am because of my J.C. Jackson tags. Do you think J.C. Jackson is a number one corner?
You know, this is something we've talked about in the past, and I've had reservations. And, you know, frankly, you know, it's hard to, you look at the numbers and say, what, 22 interceptions
right
since 2018.
He has a lot of interceptions. There's no denying
and,
that.
And, you know, so but I don't always translate, I don't always correlate
of course
that
not
necessarily to being
the best, you know, corners. Yeah, the best corners don't have interception numbers like that.
It's like an outfielder with an exceptional arm often doesn't have the number of assists that somebody else,
they don't test
less
them
of an outfielder because they don't test them.
Right.
A basketball player who may gamble, and I'm not saying that JC is this guy, but, you know, steals don't necessarily indicate, you know, whether a guy's a good defender in basketball. Sometimes he's going to find himself out of position and, you know, give up an easy backdoor layup because he's gambling for a steal on an overplay. I think with JC too, like, you look at those plays yesterday. I mean, I said it when we came back from break that the pick six was kind of served on a platter for him. And the other interception is, you know, the interception is a good play, but it's a poor throw by Darnold, and he's, you know, he's fronting the receiver, and it really, you know, that's a play that, you know, he has to make. But it's also a play that a couple weeks ago maybe he didn't make.
Right.
And I just, there's other factors too. You know, JC, teammates really, you know, talk highly of him, and, you know, he's maintained a good positive attitude, it seems, despite, you know, coming in on the tender and, you know, taking on his situation and handling it.
Oh, he's,
you
know, an NFL like player. He's a good NFL player.
Right.
It's just this, I don't know if I buy paying him like a number one corner. That's all. Well, that's the only thing.
You know, and again, the point I'm making is, you know, he's had multiple agents, which I think he's now on his third agent. And I wonder, you know, why? You know, and those are the questions I have. And the organization's going to have a lot more information about that. I just don't know physically whether he truly is a number one shutdown cornerback. And I have I kind of have the suspicion that if the Patriots thought that, that
they would have
been more of an effort to lock him up at this point rather than go this deep and this close to the end of the season in free agency. Because generally when a guy hits the market like that, with exceptions, you know, with guys who've been longtime Patriots like McCourty and Edelman in the past, you know, those guys, once they hit that open market, they don't come back.
All right, football pigskin, I want to know about your journey back yesterday. I saw Scott Zolak bitching about flights being canceled, being moved, and I don't know who it was, but somebody sent me a photo of Scott Zolak sitting in a middle seat in coach, and he looked like somebody killed his puppy.
Well, in fairness, that is a very long flight to Charlotte. I mean, imagine having to sit there for a full hour and 45 minutes.
And about Bob, no offense, you can put Bob in any seat. It doesn't matter.
You're challenging me.
I need to know.
You know what, John?
What's that?
None taken, but I got to tell you, even at my size in those seats last night as a middle seat passenger, it was pretty crap. I had to laugh when I got on the plane and saw Zoe in the middle seat.
It's called the Charlotte Airport. I fly through the Charlotte Airport, 10 times a year.
Yeah.
All right. And that's what the Charlotte Airport is, middle seat.
I need to know, first of all, what happened, and second of all, what was Zolak's reaction? Because Zolak doesn't complain about travel much. The dude was pissed last night, and the picture just is – I'll retweet it because it's phenomenal. So what was his reaction?
Well, the first thing is they oversold the flight, of course. And Dennis Knudsen, our esteemed chief engineer, didn't initially have a seat assignment. So, you know, the whole conversation for us on the way to the airport is, Dennis, you're not going to have a seat. We get to the airport at the gate, and Dennis is at the counter with the gate agent trying to negotiate his way out of the flight. And Zoe is reveling, of course. Zoe being the ultimate ball buster, is, you know, giving Dennis a hard time, and he's reveling because Dennis isn't going to have a seat. And of course, then we get on the plane, and there's Zoe, who boarded before me, like in, I don't know, row 8, row 9, whatever, not in the business class, not in the extra leg room, in the middle seat. And I see the look on his face, and I'm laughing. And then I turn around and see Dennis does get on the plane, much to Zoe's dismay, all of our dismay, because we would have added to the Zolak and Bertrand show today and you know, given them some quality content if Dennis was at the airport and not on the plane. But anyway, I get my seat and I hear the guys behind me, because the plane is packed with Patriots fans, you know, the very, very similar quality of Patriot fans, characteristics for those Patriot fans. And I hear somebody say, hey, did you see Zolak in the middle seat?
Oh, I hope he was next to two Patriot fans, two drunk Patriot fans, just singing Josie and asking him questions
the whole time.
Yeah. But listen, it's an hour and 45-minute flight. What are you gonna say?
You know, he professes to be a man of the people. You know,
no, he's not. No, he's not. No, he's not.
He was a man of the people.
No, he likes to get paid for corporate gigs. No, he's not a man.
Right. I can't find this photo. I don't even remember who sent it to me, but I can't find it anymore. But if
you were telling me they were in L.A. and he had the middle seat, that would have been fantastic.
But I mean, Zolak looks pissed.
Yeah,
pissed.
Well, you know what? Blame it on Beasley. All right.
I think, in fairness, I think he took it, relatively speaking, in stride last night.
I just wish he had two Patriot fans asking him questions. And just drunk and asking him questions and bothering him. All right, Bob Soucy, good job. I heard a bunch of the game yesterday. Good job, guys. And thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
All right, that Charlotte Airport is just a disaster.
Yeah, it is not a fun stop. And there's so many places that you got to go from Boston that have a layover there. Is that
if you fly American?
If you fly
American, you're going through Charlotte. Yeah. And they have not one, not two, but three LID stores. How do I know? Because I have, on occasion, spent 12 hours in the Charlotte airport.
Do you remember when we were broadcasting from the Mall of America in Minnesota, and we counted how many LID store were there? Was there nine LID stores in one mall? I think there was
six that were actually in the walking part of the mall. And then there was a lid store in each one of the anchor stores. Like the Macy's had a lids, the Belk or whatever had a lids.
Yeah.
So many places to get super cool hats.
I've been in all the lids. I've walked around with my family just going into lids.
Yep.
Seeing what they got. All right, so we'll be back in just a moment.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem?
Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Get out of here. Come on. Don't listen to them. Listen to no one.
Don't listen to them. You're going to ruin your career.
But you're rich.
You can't listen to those people. They're maniacs.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, we're the Touch and Rich radio program. And two things that are very controversial is, A, I don't know why I'm on this thread of people pitching, busting my balls about J.C. Jackson. Yeah, he had a ball thrown to him yesterday, and he's fast. But if you think he's the number one corner, and you know how much number one corners make? If you want to sign him to that deal, go right ahead. And second of all, with your dumb OBJ takes, your dumb Odell Beckham Jr. takes, and that includes Alex Barth.
Well, that's today at some point. Like, what time is
they're
the waivers?
Officially placing him on waivers today. That becomes official at 4 o'clock.
Okay.
And then it's a 24-hour period. So we'll find out by tomorrow afternoon if anyone takes him. The NFL Network is adamant. Ian Rappaport is adamant. No one's going to take him. And I said earlier, Cleveland did him a solid. They restructured that contract so no one would take him, and now he'll be able to sign with whoever he wants.
Well, if he wants to become, I mean, if he's going to be a free agent, which it sounds like he is, the three teams that he wants to play for, according to Mike Florio, and this is before yesterday's slate of games, the Seahawks, the Niners, and the Saints. How could you want to play for the Niners right now? Oh my God, that is not. I mean, especially when you see what they got going at quarterback.
Where's he from?
I don't know.
Where'd he go to college? I don't even
LSU.
Remember. He went to LSU.
Okay.
Remember LSU got in trouble because he was like handing out hundreds on the sideline during that championship?
LSU got in trouble?
Yeah, I know.
He always seemed to be above it all.
I think, John, your speculation was a good one, and that was with Antonio Brown hurt.
Yeah.
It would make perfect sense for him to take, like, cheap money and for 1 year
go through the Brady car wash, come out smelling really clean,
and have a championship possibly. Yeah.
And then. Yeah. If I got Brady, then sure. See if he has anything left in the tank.
He's from Baton Rouge, went to high school in New Orleans.
That's probably why he's looking at the Saints, because they're a mess right now at quarterback, even though they got pretty close to winning. There was a pretty decent comeback against Atlanta.
Why is Taysom Hill not? Why don't they give the ball to Taysom Hill?
Wait a minute. Well, he switched off.
The next guy. I thought he was the,
he was
the second coming. Sean Payton was all in on him last year.
It's all Trevor Siemian down there.
Yeah.
I watched some of that game. But it's funny. Bird sits in here and he makes a good point. He says that, and you saw Cleveland yesterday. I don't know. I mean, they're probably relieved he's gone. So you heard Bird say that Cleveland believes, and you know he talks to guys in all these organizations, that Cleveland believes that Baker's better when Odell Beckham Jr. is not playing, because he's not looking for him every three plays because he knows he's going to get an earful. And to that, I would say you have a rookie quarterback who right now is playing like a rookie quarterback. But you have him working within your system and not trying to push things. You have everything. Everything is running the way you want it running right now.
And why would you add a broken down diva receiver to screw the kid up? Well, you can do things with the ball in open space. I don't know if he can do things with the ball in open space anymore. I don't think anyone does. I don't know what he can do. But all I know is that right now, this is the way. Yesterday, you played the way you got to play to win. And if you can play this way, maybe you win a playoff game, which is, you know, above what my expectations for the team were. The last thing I need is some rookie quarterback worrying about some broken down diva receiver wanting the ball.
Well, on top of that, Fred, I mean, you've got now a decent recipe as far as, boy, you really hope that Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson
are okay.
If
they're hurt, they'll be back eventually.
I know, but concussions are scary, obviously, and it's a head injury. They're not saying specifically it's a concussion, but I'm assuming that's what it is.
What else could it be?
I know. You would think that would be it. So, but you're right, and you take a look also, and I think that even the odds makers are looking at the way the schedules are shaking out and everything else, and very favorable to what they think the chances are of this team right now. As a matter of fact, after the Patriots lost to Dallas a couple of weeks ago, according to 538, they gave the Patriots a 21% chance of making the playoffs.
538 stinks. They predicted Hillary Clinton to beat Trump over and over again. Screw Nate Silver.
Yeah, well, this is the only thing I can find.
I won't listen to him. Whatever they say is wrong. That guy was dead. Oh, Clinton in a landslide.
In fairness, he wasn't the only one who thought.
I don't care. It's his one job.
I mean, he has to do Patriots odds for the playoffs.
He had one job to do, and he failed.
This is not Nate Silver. It's probably like Bob Silver.
But it's one of his 538, cousins, which is his company, and I would imagine his algorithms and everything else that they use. Well, regardless, yes, they'll probably make the playoffs.
Yeah, now it's a lot. I mean, it jumped drastically.
And then you win a game in the playoffs. I wouldn't get so excited about beating the Bills or anything.
Well, they got to play the Ravens right now. Right now, if it started, if the playoffs start today, the Ravens are who you go head-to-head with.
I watched the Ravens yesterday, and they didn't play particularly well. I want nothing to do with that team.
They might be the only team. Well, I mean, I'm kind of having a little recency bias with the Bills, but they might be the only team right now that I'm a little bit scared of. Like, I think that the Patriots have just as good a chance as anyone else at beating almost any of the other teams in the AFC. Not to say they're favored, but I think that they've got a shot. It wouldn't blow me away. The Ravens are the only team I look at and go, man, that is a tough, tough team to take down.
Did you see Le'Veon Bell score yesterday?
Yes, I did.
He's got a wide receiver number, and he looks like a wide receiver now. He's not... He looks like he grew.
Where is number 17, I believe? Yes.
Yeah, it was weird. I was like Hollywood Brown or something back there.
I want to know how that Charlotte team won four games at the beginning of the season.
Well, they played the Jets poorly.
And I think that they... Okay, so it was the Jets. I think Miami was one of the other teams.
And the Jets came close to beating them, which is something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they Darnold was okay at the beginning of the year, and now he's an unmitigated disaster. And that defense is pretty good, but you just overpowered them. And by the middle of the third quarter, that defense had no business. And this is a great compliment to the Patriots. The Charlotte defense had no interest whatsoever in getting involved with you. You had truly worn them down.
So they killed they beat the Jets. They killed the Saints.
It was Jameis Winston being Jameis Winston.
Yeah,
remember
that second game blew
up?
Awful
week.
He did. They killed the Texans. All right, so that's not really a great
win. Then
you
start playing teams that are decent.
And then they lost to the Cowboys. Although they did, they hung in there. It was 36-28.
Yeah, but who cares? Like, they lost.
They lost to the Eagles.
Sub .500.
And the Eagles are blow, too.
Yeah.
Listen, Darnold sucks. All right, I guess I don't know what Gase did to him. There's no reason he should be this bad, but he is. So Darnold is not a starting quarterback in the NFL. Everything when he was drafted, everyone told me how wonderful he was, and this was the greatest thing ever, and I bought into it, and now what?
I go back to what I said earlier.
That's why, John. I'm back. You confused Darnold. Congratulations.
That's the thing.
I mean, what are you, proud of yourself?
All right, there are two balls.
Something shiny.
There are two balls that he wasn't confused on. One was the pick six where he overshot his guy, who was open. by the way.
Oh, yeah, and but J.C. Jackson was there.
That was a miracle. He beat Robbie
J.C. Jackson was 10 yards behind the play.
And the other one was J.C. Jackson is in front of D.J. Moore in the end zone, and Darnold still throws it to him.
I got these people texted like on this chain, like J.C. Jackson did something like incredible. Like he was 10 yards behind the play.
Here's what happened. J.C. Jackson was watching the trajectory of all of the passes up to that point and using the geometry in his brain, figured out exactly where that ball was going to be thrown.
I'm wrong about stuff. Of course I'm wrong about stuff. I'm wrong about stuff all the time. But I mean, but that just tells me you're a dummy.
But
you watch that game and you're like, wow, J.C. Jackson is great.
But if you have more interceptions than anybody else since 2018,
sure,
you're putting yourself in the right place at the right time. And that does say something about your football intelligence.
Well,
whether that means you're a number one cornerback and you should be paid for it, that's debatable.
The pick six. But the pick six, he was nowhere near the play. The ball came right to him.
But he is very good at his job.
He is a NFL corner. There's no question.
He is above average NFL corner. Above average.
Sure. Maybe he's a number two corner. Sure, why not?
The question is, do you pay him number $1?
No, because he's not a lockdown corner.
And in free agency, though, I referenced Bert Breer from last week. He will get paid that way.
But why would I pay a guy who can't lock down one side of the field?
And that's the thing. Look at the Patriots' history. They've had cornerbacks that have gotten to this point that have asked for big money. Malcolm Butler, Stephon Gilmore. Goodbye. Don't worry about it. See you later.
Wouldn't you draft like a kid? Like, I just drafted a kid.
They thought they had one in Juwan Williams. That didn't work. He was a second-round pick, you'll remember. That didn't work out too well.
I don't know. In the draft, they're going to have to go secondary in the draft. So, I mean, you can get a lockdown kid in the draft if you get a high, if you use a pick, trade up a little bit, get a kid to lock down on one side of the field. But no, he's not a number one corner. I don't know what he did yesterday that spazzed you out so much, but, I mean, congratulations. He ran a ball in. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of games he's had that have been better than that where you could have come after me, but that game is just, you're just showing you're stupid. The ball came right to the kid.
He knew where it was going to be.
All right. Maybe him and Darnold were the only, Darnold didn't know where that ball was going. He blows. Boy, that team, so Gilmore gets that interception, or maybe it was the fumble. And so they get the ball. And they make a positive play, and then they get a 15-yard taunting penalty. And it was funny because I left where I was and got in the car, and I heard there was a taunting penalty, so I assumed it was after a touchdown. But no. It was a 15-yard taunting penalty after some BS gain. I assumed that Carolina had scored and that that was the taunting penalty, but no.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get a lot of taunting penalties, offensive taunting penalties, after like a 7-yard gain? I mean, what's that team doing? And they weren't playing well. And they were playing like crap at the time.
That's probably why. It was one moment of sweet release. They were just like, oh, God, thank goodness something happened. They got a little overconfident.
A taunting penalty after nothing happened. Good for you.
Well, that's usually what you see about most taunting penalties.
And by the way, good on the league for getting Aaron Donald on that very, very dirty hit that he...
To Tannehill? Tannehill. Unforgivable.
I mean, he had the audacity to touch the guy. And also, don't you just by nature give Darnold a break? I mean, he's the best player in the NFL. Wouldn't you just like give him a break?
Oh, I thought you said Darnold for a second.
Donald.
Yeah, I thought you said Darnold.
Darnold.
And I was
Donald,
like, whoa.
Whatever.
I'd say two different ends of the spectrum when it comes to Donald and Darnold.
Yes. All right. Rich, what's coming up in the old stack of room?
Oh, so much. Let's start with what celebrity has America finally come around on us hating? It's like we were like on the forefront of this. SNL finally has a superstar, and the Vin Diesel versus The Rock feud, it is hitting awesomely comic levels.
Well, I mean, listen, there's a true victor in that. You just go by the pay stubs, and that's the D's.
Mm.
Or if you go by rap talent, though, I got to go with The Rock. Thank God did you see the rap song he put out?
No.
Oh, yeah, he's got a rap song.
Well, I want to hear it.
It's really good. It's as good as you think it'd be.
Okay, I want to hear it.
You got to try real hard and lift a lot of weights and do your thing.
Does it sound like Mr. T's mother rap?
Essentially.
Okay, well, then I want to hear it.
Eat your vitamins and do that stuff.
It's Hulk Hogan.
Eat your vitamins and do all that stuff?
There was a public service announcement when we were kids about eating celery to exercise your mouth. Do you remember exercise your chompers really? Chew, chew, chew. Exercise your chompers on some good, hard food.
No.
And then it's Fonzie, a cartoon of Fonzie with celery. And he goes, no, this is what I call hard exercise. And it was a public service announcement to children to eat hard food.
Well, now I want to see that.
No. To exercise your choppers.
We have two projects now.
All right. So, yeah. Well, that's from the 80s. All right. Here are the headlines.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench.
And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Right before we came on the air, John was saying his Christmas decorations was up, and Rich was saying he was listening to Christmas music. And to that, I say, absolutely.
Already.
Listen, man, there's a reason Christmas is when it is. It's because it's winter solstice and the how dark it is. Man, anything you can do to survive this, do it, man. Christmas rules.
You start Christmas the day after Halloween, for all I care. Please.
Yeah.
Everyone does.
Wait, and the complaints about it don't make any sense to me. Like, it's like, I guess if like you don't celebrate Christmas, it can be annoying. But if you celebrate Christmas, what the hell? Why not? Christmas rules. Yeah, throw everything up. Light the whole effing place up. Like, make downtown. Like, the Christmas time I go into the city because I like to see it lit up. Go do that. Do it now. They put the tree in the campus there at downtown Detroit. That tree's up.
Well, they put the Christmas lights up right around Thanksgiving at the Common.
They should put them up now. Yeah. As soon as daylight savings time, they should put up the lights.
Well, they got to make sure all of the rioters end up leaving first like they did yesterday.
Yeah, my wife was at the Simone Biles thing, and apparently that was getting an Uber with all that like Nazi stuff going on was hard. So that's my whole take on Nazis, is they make it very difficult to get Ubers.
And they disrupt your day going to the gymnastics competition.
It wasn't a competition. It was an exhibition. Thank you very much.
Yeah, yes, that's a take no one's had before, I have a feeling.
All right. So we were looking for The Rock's a rap song, Saturday Night Live this weekend had Kieran Culkin, who, of course, is the brother of Macaulay Culkin. He's on The Succession show. And first of all, at the cold open, it was a 50-50 type of deal. 50% of it wasn't good, and 50% of it was phenomenal.
Now, if I can add, I have the way I consume Saturday Night Live is on the web. The AV Club does a rundown of it. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, they describe the sketches when there's a video of the sketch. So maybe that's for legal reasons. But anyway, the cold open was always a tune-out. I never watched them because Alec Baldwin was terrible as Trump, and Jim Carrey was terrible as Biden. But as Rich is about to play you, there is a superstar on the cast now. And unfortunately for him, there's 21 cast members.
He is, like, watching him work. So this guy's name is James Austin Johnson. Now, James Austin Johnson is, when I watch him, it seems like when you first saw Will Ferrell in a skit that you thought was amazing. It's like, this dude is so talented. How are they going to use him? Unfortunately, He's barely been on this season. He was Biden at the very beginning, but then he almost shows up in no more sketches afterwards.
He's in a lot of sketches, but they don't give him anything to do.
Right. He's not a featured person. But yesterday, or Saturday night rather, he debuted his Donald Trump. And I know that the last thing anyone wants to hear is a Donald Trump impression because everyone's been bad. This dude's is unbelievable.
They allow him to free associate, which is what makes this guy actually funny.
So here is James Austin Johnson from this past weekend's SNL cold open.
Because there's a lot of times where I was giving advice. A lot of times I was giving advice and people weren't listening, and it didn't work out so great for some of those people, okay? I mean, when you look back with Star Wars, I said, you need to do it with swords. The lasers are not enough. You gotta have real swords, George. I remember talking. I said this to George. I said, if you're gonna do Star Wars, okay, you have to have real swords. And look at what they're doing with Dune. Look at what they're doing with Dune. I talked to Denis Villeneuve. I said, look at the success of Dune. Look at Chalamet. Look at all of it, okay? Real swords. You know, frankly, with Dune, you've got Momoa and everyone's doing flips and it's very Game of Thrones. And people were very disappointed, I think, with Game of Thrones. You know how it ended and everything, but with Dune, I think you've got a lot of possibility with Dune. I see a lot of possibility. 2, 3, 4, 15 movies. And frankly, I see a lot of possibility with Virginia.
God, you are impressive. How do you keep that all in your brain?
Well, I had my ears sealed so nothing comes in or out.
I mean, his voice, wow. Close your eye. Now that I'm actually listening to it and not looking at it, I mean, it sounds exactly like him.
That's impressive.
And they've captured his stream of consciousness. And the way they do it is when he starts going off on a rant, it looks like Pardon the Interruption. It will have the different categories of things he's going to hit. And he does it twice in that. Then once it's all of a sudden Chris Pratt, and then it's Mario, and then it's like Toad from the Mario movies. And then it continues to go down and it ends up back being about politics. But that guy is just phenomenal. Now, at the beginning of that sketch, they tried to capitalize on, of course, the Aaron Rodgers
news. And the many faces of Pete Davidson out. And Pete Davidson, you want to talk about nailing it.
Just put a shirt on him. Like, put on the shirt.
Is this the audio of him?
This is it.
All right, yeah. John, close your eyes. Okay. Allow me to take you to Aaron Rodgers.
Talk, Aaron, because I never talk gay. Did you ever lie about being vaccinated?
I never lied. I took all my teammates into a huddle, got all their faces 3 inches away from my wet mouth, and told them, trust me, I'm more or less immunized. Go team.
And you said you didn't get the vaccine because it might make you sterile, which is so insane. I'm jealous I didn't say it.
Hey, and look, people can talk all they want, but at the end of the day, my record is still 7-1. Meaning of the 8 people I've infected, 7 are fine.
Wow.
So allow yourself to for Pete Davidson, the many faces of Pete Davidson. That guy's not on that show for just banging hot chicks at all.
That guy, James Austin Johnson, has a Twitter account in which, you know, for a matter of fact, it's probably how they found him. And for the last couple of years, he's been doing these stream of consciousness like Trump things, and they're brilliant.
Yeah, like the Flintstones, like
Scooby Doo. Scooby Doo.
Scooby. Now Scrappy, not so much. No, Scrappy. And you know, and Scooby was not involved in solving the mysteries.
So, yeah, I think he. I would love to see what other characters he can do because, as I said, his impressions, the two we've seen so far, are very good. But that one is just, he absolutely nails it. Now, Fred, I have to say, you were ahead of the game. More than anybody else, James Corden is a gentleman who people are starting to look at in a different way. As a matter of fact, fans are petitioning producers behind a movie adaptation of the hit musical Wicked to not cast James Corden.
Well, the thing is that James Corden is so masculine that his name comes up with every musical. And so, as most really, really straight guys. So, by the way, if he was gay, I would never mention it. This is a man who's married with children.
He was trending on social media over the weekend because he said he had major casting announcements about the movie Wicked. And when that happened, this petition started up on change.org addressed directly to Universal, which has right now over 21,000 signatures. The petition states simply, quote, James Corden in no way, shape, or form should be in or near the production of Wicked the movie.
Okay.
That's pretty much it.
People don't like him.
Well,
like, they don't like him. I don't get why he has a show.
So he,
no one likes him.
They're quoting the backlash, of course, of him being in the movie Cats.
which, of course, was the guy who ruined it.
The movie Prom that he got criticized for being a part of as well.
The gay thing that monitors movies was very upset with him because he was too gay in the movie. And I'm not making that up.
I actually remember reading that. Yes.
Yes, he was considered a caricature of gay people.
It was almost like an insult to gay people.
And then he was just like, I'm being myself.
And then, of course, there was the video that went viral of him thrusting his groin at unsuspecting commuters in L.A. to promote the movie Cinderella, another musical, and thus why this petition was made.
He behaves...
James Corden away from my movie.
He behaves like a theater kid in high school. And to that, I would say there's nothing more popular than a theater kid in high school. Give them all TV shows. Like, can you imagine in high school if you dressed up like in God bless you if you're talented enough and be in theater. I'm being dead serious.
Sure.
If you're talented enough and be in theater, do the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But like, you think enough people like musical theater for you to like be dancing around them, mm-hmm. like out in the public and like being on TV? That's nonsense. And plus, he's an inner. There's like an inner prick to him. Like there's no. I can tell he's a big phony. Like he gets all mad when people call him fat. Like instead of having a sense of humor about the whole thing, he blows.
Yeah, not the best. Well, Vin Diesel and The Rock have my favorite feud going on right now because it truly seems to be only one way. Vin Diesel, very snide when saying that he took The Rock under his wing when casting with the Fast and the Furious, like taking basically credit for The Rock's acting career.
No one knew who it was at the time.
Now, I will say that Vin Diesel ended up getting a little bit of a win because when he ended up releasing Fast and the Furious 9, it ended up doing extremely well at the box office.
It was a win for him and a loss for humanity.
That is true. So now Vin Diesel, who might be the most delusional people as far as how big his star is, put this on Instagram. It was a picture of him with The Rock looking eye to eye from one of his movies, even though one of them standing on a box. He put,
my little brother Dwayne, the time has come. The world awaits for the finale of Fast 10. As you know, my children refer to you as Uncle Dwayne in my house. There is not, by the way, he called him my little brother. He called The Rock my little brother. There is not a holiday that goes by that they and you don't send well wishes, but the time has come. Legacy awaits. I couldn't have written this like any worse.
What the hell is he talking about?
I told you years ago that I was going to fulfill my promise to Pablo, which is a character. I swore that we would reach and manifest the best Fast in the finale that is number 10. I say this out of love, but you must show up. Do not leave the franchise idle. You have a very important role to play. Hobbs can't be played by no other. I hope that you rise to the occasion and fulfill your destiny.
I have a feeling if someone else played Hobbs, everyone would be fine with it. He thinks that this stuff is Lawrence of Arabia. Like, he thinks that this is, like, changing the lives of all of
you
us.
You just can't have another guy walk in and play Hobbs.
He's the chosen one.
I mean, that would just blow the whole thing up. I mean, you're so invested into the depth of the character. You could have anyone play. You could have James Corden play Hobbs.
Oh, that would be the best.
That'd be the best. Ooh, we're going extremely fast. This is it's a Fast and Not Too Furious. You know what, Vin? How about we all put on mouse noses and scamper about in a dance?
I'm a nice man. Oh, look, a Corona.
Ooh, you have your Corona and I'll have myself a Pimm's cup. All right, James Corden sucks. All right. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the Patriots win. It's supposed to be nice today. That'll do it for us. Everyone have a great day. Bye. I'm a lover.
Roto-Rooter. Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMass and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.